Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 19. The Lord begs charity from Bali Maharaj, text 34. Kramato gam pradaikena. Dvitiyena divam vivo. Kamjakayena mahata. Tartiyasya kuto gati. Kramata. Gradually. Good gum. The surface of the land. Para ekena. By one step. Dvitiyena. By the second step. Divam, the whole of outer space. Vibho, of the universal form. Kamcha, the sky also. Kayena, by the expansion of his transcendental body. Mahata, by the universal form. Tartiyasya, as far as the third step is concerned. Kutaha, where is? Gati, to keep his step. Translation of purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Vamanadeva will first occupy the three worlds with one step. Then he will take his second step and occupy everything in outer space. And then he will expand his universal body to occupy everything. Where will we offer him the third step? Purport. Sukracharya wanted to tell Bali Maharaj how he would be cheated by Lord Vamanadeva. He had promised three steps, he said. But with only two steps, all your possessions will be finished. How then will you give him a place for his third step? Sukracharya did not know how the Lord protects his devotee. The devotee must risk everything in his possession for the service of the Lord, but he is always protected and never defeated. By materialistic calculations, Sukracharya thought that Bali Maharaj would under no circumstances be able to keep his promise to the brahmachari, Lord Vamanadeva. In the Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is also, he had in the beginning, a material concept of life. And he argued with Krishna in so many different ways why he shouldn't fight. And what he was giving was scriptural arguments. Adharma vivat Krishna, Pradushanti, Kulastriya, Stri Shudu Starshi Varshneya, Jayante Varna Sankara. When the elderly members of the family become killed, adharma vivatyuta pradushanti kulastriya, then there's no, the ladies of the family aren't protected anymore. And when the ladies aren't protected, then we have varna sankara, unwanted population. And varna sankara, it's very difficult, if not impossible, for them to understand what the actual purpose of life is. Just like it's not possible for a rabbit to understand what the purpose of life is. As far as he's concerned, the purpose of life is to eat, sleep, mate, and defend, and that's it. There's no other purpose of life. It doesn't matter how many lectures you give the rabbit, no matter how much you give him lettuce as a reward for learning, opening his mind up a little bit, the rabbit can't open his mind because he's absorbed in the mode of ignorance. Similarly, everyone starts life in the mode of ignorance, but varna sankara, unwanted population, they start life especially in the mode of ignorance. Although through the chanting of the holy name, it's possible to open one's mind up, but I don't think Bali Maharaj is about to do a kirtan to Sukracharya. Amaradev trying to open Sukracharya's mind up. As far as he was concerned, he was learned in the Vedas. But Krishna wasn't so much impressed by the learning the Vedas, knowing the Vedas. Although the Vedas are a stepping stone to Krishna consciousness, but Krishna says to Arjuna, yadahi moha kalilam buddhi vyavatirishati tata gantasi nirvedam shotavyasya shutasyaja. When your mind is no longer disturbed by the flowering language of the Vedas, and when it finds satisfaction, self-realization, then you can actually attain the actual truth. In other words, the Vedas, was Krishna says, yami mam pushpitam vacham, pravandhya vipaschita, vedavatarata parata, nayam astiti vadinam, karmatmaka swargapura, janmakarapalapradam, kriya visheshu baulam, bhagaishvarekatim titi. The Vedas mainly deal, yami mam pushpitam vacham, pravandhya vipaschita. Those who are what is called karma, interested in karma kanda, they say that there's nothing except, they're attracted by the flowery language of the Vedas, which recommend various fruitive activities for elevation to the heavenly planets, power and so forth. Being so absorbed in such conceptions, they say that there's nothing more than this. In other words, the Vedas are there to help the soul, who's entrapped by the material concept of life, to gradually make progress, to get out of the material concept of life, to go to a higher stage of consciousness, ending with the freedom from material attachment. And from which state one can actually become spiritually attached. But people who study the Vedas are not really thinking they're studying it, to most of them, so I can obtain liberation and attain pure devotional service to Krishna. They're attracted because there's some offering of namely two things. Namely, they can get what they want and they'll be protected from what they don't want. Which is why we came to the material world, in order to fulfill that two things. To get whatever we want, and to become protected from what we don't want. It's called Ichcha Dvesha Samutena Dvandva Mohena Bharata Sarabhutani Samoham Sargayanti Parantapa. That all living entities are born into delusion, overcome by the dualities of desire and hate. So Sukracharya, he's somewhat Krishna conscious as being one of the demigods, but he's materially attached. And although he's defying Vishnu, and although he knows that Vishnu is God, still because of material attachment, he can't help but trying to protect his material assets. He could have surrendered to Krishna immediately also. He could have surrendered to Vamanadeva, but because of material attachments, his intelligence was not so developed. Although he has, compared to us, he has unlimited intelligence, but because of this material attachment, therefore he cannot understand things clearly. Therefore, Vamadeva is also performing this pastime for the sake of Sukracharya, to give him some opportunity to expand his intelligence a little bit more. Although Sukracharya undoubtedly remains attached. As long as we're not purely Krishna conscious, as long as our motivation is not to be purely conscious of Krishna, there's going to be some degree of material attachments, which means that we won't understand Krishna properly. We won't understand Krishna fully. We'll only understand Krishna to a certain extent, and therefore, what to speak of Sukracharya giving bad advice, practically speaking, although we ourselves know what's to be done and what's not to be done, because of material attachments, many times we do the wrong thing. But we're so used to doing the wrong thing that we just pat ourselves on the back if we happen to sometime do the right thing. Then we think we're a great devotee because sometimes we do the right thing. And all the other things that we're doing, that doesn't really count because, that's my life. And the other thing is I surrender to Krishna once in a while, and therefore I'm actually a great devotee, because once in a while. And compared to everyone else, I'm a great devotee in this world. If we went to the spiritual world, this residents of the spiritual world wouldn't be so much impressed by our great devotion, our great spiritual advancement. So, therefore, we have to be a little bit considerate to Shukracharya, although he's doing the wrong thing. But obviously, it's not everyone gets a chance to meet God, Krishna, Vamanadeva personally, and have as one's disciple, Bali Maharaj, the head of the whole universe. He's obviously not an ordinary person. And he also, as I said, he also gets benefit from this pastime. After all, how many of us in that situation would have known that this is Vamanadeva who's going to expand himself and cover the whole universe with two steps, and then with his universal form fill in the rest of the universe? How many of us would have known that? So he's obviously a special personality, but he's also attached, and therefore he doesn't think that the ultimate goal of life is just to become Krishna conscious, because he has so many obligations to his family and other pastimes. With Shukracharya, we find him, his daughter, which was, what was his name of his daughter? Danishta, what's her name? Sarmishta. I think Sarmishta was that his daughter? Anyhow, his daughter got into a relationship with the Kshatriya. She told him, don't get involved with any other girl. And he got this other girl, obliged him to get involved. There was some kind of animosity between the two former best friends, just by a little bit of a so-called offense on the part of one of them, Sumishta and, what's that? Divyayani, something like that. Just by a little offense of one of them, they were bathing in the lake and are naked, and their clothes were on the shore. And these are best friends, by the way. Shukracharya's daughter and the daughter of the king. And Narayamuni is passing by, so the girls are embarrassed. So they run to the shore and put on clothes. And one of the Sarmishta, I believe, she put on Devayani's dress. And Devayani said, how is it that you're putting on my dress? This is an insult. That you're just a Kshatriya, I'm a Brahmin. And that this is, you know... So Dharmishta being... Sarmishta, being a Kshatriya blood, she got angry, took Devayani and threw her into a well. This is in the heavenly planets, by the way. We'd expect a lot worse around here. Then the king Ayati is passing by, and he sees his lady in the well, takes her out of the well, and she falls in love with him. In any case, he gets married. Then this Divyayani, she goes to her father and complains that this king's son, this king's daughter, threw me in a well. So then he gets the king to agree. Well, he gets the king marries Divyayani and agrees that his daughter is going to be her maidservant. Anyhow, he gets really involved. In any case, Shukracharya, He doesn't want to do all this, but he's obliged because his daughter wants it. Such is family attachment. He thinks this whole thing is crazy. His daughter is just insane. But what could he do? He has to keep peace in the family. So he does this ridiculous arrangement of having Sarmishta become the maidservant of Divyayani, with the pledge that this king who saved her will not have any relations with Sarmishta. Although it's forbidden that a Kshatriya will be married a Brahmana, a Brahmini. Anyhow, it's a whole elaborate thing, but the material attachments of Sukracharya brought out. But that's he's not the only one who's attached to his family in this material world. Practically everyone in the material world who has a family is attached one way or the other. It's very rare to find a family without some kind of material attachment. Maybe Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he had his family, he wasn't materially attached because he's so much absorbed in Krishna's service. But Shukracharya is absorbed in the service of Vishnu, but at the same time, he's a priest of the demons. A lot of bad association. Even great devotees, when they get into bad association, they do weird things. Just like when there was a story of the Samantaka jewel. The Samantaka jewel meant that there was one king. His name was Satrajit, and he was a great devotee of the sun god. And so he worshipped the sun god, and the sun god decided to reciprocate and gave him one jewel called the Samantaka jewel, as well as one lady. Her name was Satyabhama. And who is Satyabhama in Krishna Leela? Does anyone know? How did he get this girl, Satyabhama? Where did she come from? Well, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, I believe it's in the Vidagna Madhava, that when Krishna was separated from the gopis in Vrindavan, when he went to Dwarka, Mathura and then Dwarka, that the gopis were so disturbed that Srimati Radharani, well, first of all, let's see, who jumped off? Lalita jumped off Govardhan Hill, and just so happened Jambavan was passing by and he caught her and he took her back to his cave and took her as his daughter. So Krishna later on, and she was named was Jambavati, the daughter of Jambavan, but she wasn't a bear. She was Lalita in the mood of Dwarka. Similarly, Srimati Radharani and Vishakha entered into the waters of the Yamuna to drown themselves, but the sun god took them to the sun planet and kept them there. And then the sun god gave Srimati Radharani to Satyajit to take care of, and she was known as Satyabhama. So Satyabhama in Dwarka Leela, she's Radharani, Srimati Radharani, and Chandravali, she's Rukmini. So in Vrindavan, Radharani is prominent in the mood of a left-wing gopi. That is contrary gopi sometimes, kind of vomit. It's soft but contrary sometimes. And Chandravali, who's second place in Vrindavan Leela, she's first place in the Leela where there's awe and reverence as a wife, a legally married wife of Krishna. So she appears as Rukmini, submissive. Chandravali in Vrindavan is submissive. And in Dwarka Leela, Satyabhama, who's Srimati Radharani, is not always so submissive to Krishna. In any case, in this Leela, we have Satyajit. He comes into town. Town means Dwarka, big town. Big city, Dwarka. And has this Samantaka jewel around his neck. So it's so powerful, the Samantaka jewel, that he appears to be the sun god. And everyone goes and tells Krishna the sun god has come to visit you. Krishna is supposedly playing chess, but I think it's another kind of game. And he says, no, that's not the sun god. That's only Satyajit. He's just has this jewel around himself. So Satyajit comes and visits Krishna. Krishna says, give the jewel to Ugrasena, because the best of everything should be given to the emperor. Satyajit, not very much inclined, says, sorry, the jewel is producing, like, I forget, 70 pounds of, or kilo, which would approximate, I guess, around 40 kilos of gold every day, which is pretty good. I don't know, how much is a kilo of gold? An ounce is, let's see, a gram of gold is like 50 euros, and there's like 2,000. So it's maybe $2 million. So it's like producing $100 million worth of gold every day. So who wouldn't want that jewel? So Satyajit wouldn't give up the jewel, wouldn't give anything. So it's sorry. And he leaves. Then his brother takes the jewel, Prasena, rides in the forest to show off the jewel, I don't know whom, maybe to the monkeys in the forest. And a lion comes and attacks Prasena, kills him, kills the horse, and takes the jewel away. And Jambavan hears about it, comes and kills the lion and takes the jewel. Anyhow, the story goes on. Finally, the Satyajit, after defaming Krishna, realizes he made a mistake, goes and gives his daughter Satyabhama as one of Krishna's future wives. And at this end, also Jambavati gets married. Lalita goes. When Radharani gets there, and Lalita gets there at the same time. And at the same time, he offers the jewel to Krishna. Krishna says, no, you keep the jewel. Good luck. And then there's a conspiracy on the part of Kritavarma and Akrura to steal the jewel. And involved in this, in the conspiracy is Stativanya. And Stativanya, I forget how to pronounce his name now, he decides one day to kill Satyajit and steal the jewel. So he does that, and then Krishna hears about it. He was at that time in Hastinapur. He hears about it, comes back to Dwarka, and looks for Satyavanya in order to kill him. So he flees. And Akrura and Kritavarma won't give any protection to Satyavanya, who's a great outlaw in Dwarka. Because even in Dwarka there's outlaws. In any case, the question is, how is it Akrura, who's a great devotee, and Kritavarma got involved in this conspiracy that wound up in the death of Krishna's father-in-law and the stealing of a jewel from Krishna's father-in-law? How is it they got involved in this messy conspiracy? One of the original conspiracy theories in the Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam has everything, even conspiracies. So the answer is that Kritavarma was a personal associate of Kamsa. Although he was a devotee, by that association, he became contaminated. And similarly, Akrura, when he was leaving Vrindavan, he was cursed by the gopis for taking Krishna away. So by that curse, he had to become implicated in a conspiracy, which is more or less against Krishna's family. So by association, even great personalities like Akrura, or even Kritavarma, who's a great devotee of Krishna, even they become, by some bad association, implicated in unwanted activities. So what to speak of Sukracharya, who's always associating with the most powerful, biggest demons in the universe and serving them in the realm of their priest. So how much more is he likely to become covered by illusion? And still, he's a very, very powerful brahmana. Probably next to Brihaspati, he's the most powerful brahmana in the universe. So we have to avoid bad. The conclusion is we have to be careful about our association. If we get into bad association, we'll wind up in bad activities too. We're not immune to it. It's not that when we change our address, we change our dress, then Maya says, oh, okay, I'm sorry. You're free. You can do whatever you like. That even personalities who are Mahabhagavats, that they can, as Bhagavan Acharya, he had one brother who was a Mayavadi. He came to Jagannath Puri in order to spread his teaching. He had just finished his studies of Mayavadi philosophy. And he came, he wanted to teach in Mayavadi philosophy in Jagannath Puri when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was there. But Sri Damodar forbade him from teaching anyone. But his brother, who was a great devotee, a cowherd boy, Bhagavan Acharya, he wanted to hear this Mayavadi interpretation of Sri Rakbhasya, one of the other books from written by one of the major Mayavadis, and Srup Damodar forbade him from doing it. He said, no, that you shouldn't do that. If you hear from such a Mayavadi, that you might fall down. Even a Mahabhagavat, it says, may can fall down if they hear from a Mayavadi. And Bhagavan Acharya said, no, I'm not going to fall down. You know, but then Srup Damodar said, why do you want to hear from your brother? Even if you don't fall down, if you hear this Mayavadi philosophy that Brahman is one and Krishna is just one of the other manifestations of Brahman, then it breaks the heart of a devotee. Why would you want to listen to it? Even if it's true that you won't fall down, but still it's discouraging to hear such ridiculous... Why do we want to waste your time hearing it? So then he sent his brother home. He didn't hear it. So that's one of our principles to come to the spiritual platform. It's called upeksha. Upeksha from bad association. Become detached. Which means that there's a good, not only we're trying to love Krishna, not only we're trying to make friends with the devotees and cooperate with them, not only are we trying to help the innocent, but we also have to see where our attachments are to the mundane association. And try to give them up also. Otherwise, nowadays bad associations easily available on the internet by so many means of communication, so many billboards, so many things that are just saying, come and enjoy, come and enjoy, come and enjoy. That's the message. Make yourself healthy, happy, and wise so you can enjoy the material world and avoid all its miseries. And forget about God. If God can help you do that, then he's good. You can give him 3 steps of land as long as he doesn't have such a big foot. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions or comments? We have our microphone. This is a question over there.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. You said yesterday that Shukracharya will lose one eye. So can
you looking forward to it? Don't worry, just be patient.
It's in Bhagavatam. It's described there.
Yeah, I should be in this one. Yeah, of course it's here. It'll be here also. Just wait. Be patient.
Okay. So then another question is, we have this tendency to preach in a way that people like it, and how can we avoid this tendency to...
Well, we shouldn't preach in a way that people dislike it. We should probably get them to like Krishna. But we shouldn't say things which are untrue in order just to like it. But we can, you know, to say, if they buy the book, then our preaching is successful. As long as we don't, they read the book and they find out later that we cheated them. they say, I'm an atomic scientist. Well, that's, you know, wow, it's amazing. What a coincidence. I've been handing out these books on atomic physics, you know. This has the newest, this newest discovery in atomic physics. I'm sure you'll like it. They may take it home and get a little disappointed. Dharma Kshetra, Kuru Kshetra. So we should try to say things that won't disappoint people if they actually take it home and read it. Try to read it. Other than that, if we tell people how great they are and how wonderful they are and how much we appreciate it, there's no problem with that. That's what they're interested in anyhow. Everyone wants to be loved. Yes.
Some questions from Avadhutaraya Prabhu. First, back to Godhead, article March 1956. To impersonal monist, rishis like Vasishta, Durbasa, Dattatreya and others are considered as Mahajans. Questions. Anusuya and Atrimuni wanted the Supreme Lord to become their son. How was it a blessing for them to have Dattatreya who actually propagated monism? Question is, Anusuya and Atrimuni wanted the Supreme Lord to become their son. How was it a blessing for them to have Dattatreya who actually propagated monism?
Well, it wasn't a complete blessing, but one who's Brahman realized is actually quite an elevated person. If I remember correctly, Dattatreya is they prayed to Brahma, Shiva, and Vishnu to become their son. So he's an incarnation of the three of them. Pretty exalted personality. But it's not a complete blessing, obviously. They didn't pray for pure devotional service. They prayed to get a son, which was like those had the power of the three demigods. So they had some material aspiration. So higher than material aspiration is, even Brahman, personal Brahman is higher than that. But it's not the ultimate blessing. But it was good enough to make them into to get them into the Bhagavatam, though. Anything else?
Okay, one more. How dangerous is it that the disciple has other opinions based on Shastra from the Shastric opinion of Guru? There are some examples in Madhvas and Gaudiya Siddhantas.
Well, it depends on their attitude. We don't have to blindly follow anything. What do we mean by opinion? That we may see things, everyone sees things differently. As a matter of fact, even if one is self-realized, the disciple is going to have a different opinion because he's going to see things differently because he's not self-realized. So it's just normal. But the attitude of submission, the opinion of the guru should be taken as higher than one's own opinion, but not unreasonably. One should try to understand what the guru's opinion is. That doesn't mean that we don't have our own opinion. Matter of fact, everyone has their own opinion. According to the modes of immaterial nature, we're going to see things in a certain way. So even in the modes of material nature, everyone has a different opinion. What to speak of the opinion of someone who's actually self-realized. And even amongst those who are self-realized, there's going to be a different opinion according to their particular relation with Krishna. If you ask Yasoda Devi, you know, what is Krishna like? She's going to say he's a little coward boy. Yes, he needs my protection. If you ask Radharani, she's going to have a different opinion who Krishna is. Yes, Subal is going to have another opinion too. So we're not against having people having different opinions, but they should be respected, and we should recognize that we should try to see other people's opinions, especially those who are self-realized, see from their point of view too. That will help us develop our opinion a bit more. Anything else? Kwala, Grantaraj, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.